Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon out there, everybody. You bees listen to Blood River Radio, people. That's Blood River Radio y'all are listening to. We take no prisoners. We hoist the black flag here. No quarter. No quarter whatsoever. No mercy until the second coming of Christ comes back. People, we have one hell of a show with for you tonight. You know, I'll give you a quick, I'll tell you where I was last week, and then we're going to go to the prayer, et cetera, et cetera. We got so much to do tonight, I don't even know where to start, but we're going to start by telling you where I was last week. Friday afternoon last week, I got this heart thing. It's called atrial fibrillation, if I can even pronounce it, being a registered nurse. It's not good. When it happens, your blood pressure drops, your top part of your valves in your heart, the chambers start beating 180, 200, 220 beats a minute. Thank God the ventricles, the high pressure system remain normal or Big E would be in the ground right now. Anyway, I was in the Veterans Hospital, from Friday until Sunday morning. I was out there all day yesterday having all kinds of tests. As of this far, they can't find out what it is. We do know that I have brain damage, three different places in my brain, have a growth on my left adrenal gland that contributes to that hyperaldosteronism and all that stuff. But I'll tell you all that. To let you know, that's where I was. It wasn't just under the leather. But you know what? Like Sam said, he didn't know if I was going to meet my maker or not. I think I got rejected. God said I'm going to have to come back to earth. I'm going to have to do some other stuff before I can get ready for heaven. You know, that's for sure. But listen, I hope y'all miss me some. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. But anyway, we're back here tonight. We got one hell of a show. We had a great, as you know, this is League of the South month. Our League of the South, they're the wussest that they are. I'm the hottest guy there is in the League of the South. Anyway, no, all joking aside, I will be the League of the South representative tonight on the second hour since I am a member of the League of the South. But before I run my mouth anymore, we're going to go to a prayer. Lee, say a prayer, son.
Okay. Everybody bow their heads. Dear Heavenly Father, please protect the South, the white South Africans in South Africa from oppression, and please protect America from foreign wars and a civil war, and please help us to expose Zionism and to seek the truth, and in Jesus Christ our Lord we pray, amen.
Thank you, Lee. I'd also like to add to that. I'd like to thank God Almighty for the Veterans Hospital. Without that, me being damn near homeless as I am, thanks to you-know-who, the IRS, I would have no place to go. But they treated me like the king. I mean, I've got the greatest treatment there ever you could ever imagine. They went overkill trying to find out what was wrong with my old ticker. But you know what? To show you what a paradox it is, I was out today. I ran 4 hard miles. I can't run long distance yet because I have a trigger point in my left hip, and I'm nursing that. But anyway, before I get too carried away, we have tonight, it's me and Lee in the studio as usual, and we have my good kid, I call him like a spirit son, whether he likes it or not, Jacob Cacklehofer, Moondog, Tyler the Great. What are you doing tonight, Moondog?
Hello, Pappy. Hello, Lee. It's honor and a pleasure and a privilege and dare I say a blessing even to be on air with you guys tonight, and I'd also like to extend a warm greeting to everyone out there in radio land tonight tuning into the show. So it's always a pleasure, and thank you very kindly for the words of affirmation there. Clearly, you don't know me very well. But, you know, we'll just run with it. We'll just run with it.
Well, listen, put some more enthusiasm. When you mentioned the Big E, the Pappy, the Bombardier, let's get some more. Get carried away, man. I mean, after all, it's me we're talking about. No, you know, I'm just kidding you guys. I'm probably the weak link of the show, really am. To prove it, I was in the hospital last week. My guys, they were out running around. But we have a hell of a show tonight. It's going to be kind of discombobulated a little bit, but it will all come together and end. Ike Baker's having a hellacious trouble. I won't tell you where he is, what he's doing, but it's I don't envy what he's having to go through right now. So I will be your representative for the League of the South. I hope I don't get Dr. Hill in any worse shape than he's already in, you know, and the guys, I hope everything I say is at least close to legal anyway. I mean, they got their rules. We got ours here. But, you know, after a while, I'm going to give you a quick idea what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing so much Jacob, Moondog, Cacklehoffer the Great. He's going to be giving, get this, people, these are the kind of people I got to work with. Jacob had written a dynamite article for, not the Spotlight. What's that article? What's the name of it? The American Free Press. Wrote an article right in the middle of the American Free Press, got paid for the freaking article, and has never even mentioned it. I mean, what the hell is up with that? I mean, we're talking about, we got to market ourselves right here. And if any of y'all out there need any writing or anything like that, somebody with more education than me, as Lee's got, you need to get in touch with this guy. Yeah, we need to put it on our website. If I just knew how to do that, but I don't have enough education to do that. But I guarantee we will be getting that on the website, I guarantee you. So we'll be getting that when, I don't know, because, you know, you might have picked up by now. I'm not the most organized guy. My brain kind of don't work like a lot of people because I got brain damage in there, so folks. But so I'm kind of working around the brain damage and stuff. But before we get, after a while, we're going to play a bunch of clips, and we're going to answer one of our callers. Everybody has the right to their opinion to call in as long as they agree with us, you know. But they were talking about how they love Trump. They're going to follow Trump. You know, they're going to fix bayonets and charge a machine gun nets, and he's their man. We're going to play some clips. And by the time he gets through hearing these clips, by the time we get through exposing the way he sold out our Christian brethren over there in Palestine, he just thrown them to the hell to the wolves. It infuriates me that he did that. We're going to play a bunch of clips. And by the time Sam gets through playing these clips, you're going to be saying, hey, this Donald Trump ain't nothing but a stinking Antichrist puppet insider Jew. Anyway, before we get going to that, one thing I told Lee didn't buy me, man. Lee, what did I get you in here for? So I'm cutting his pay down again. People, February is going to be Dresden month. And our good guy who used to be on the radio with us a lot, he told us we should do that. And I could not agree more. As a matter of fact, next week, if you'd like a little heads up, February the 8th, we're going to have none other than Tom Goodrich on. He's one of my favorite authors. He wrote the book Hellstorm. He's going to be on with our beloved brother-in-arms, Mr. Marine James himself. Gene Andrews is going to be interviewing Tom Goodrich in his book Hellstorm, because I think the anniversary for for Dresden started. Oh, that's right, Black History Month. We're going to drop napalm. Oh, excuse me, we're going to drop flour for that. People, if you will, hang on a few minutes, and we're going to read some stuff. We're going to go to some better stuff than what you've heard already, because I probably dropped the ball. And we'll be right back. Hold on to your seats, people. We'll be right back.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we're right back. And once again, as I do with my organized brain, and really and truly, people, I'm not BSing you. I do have some brain damage that it's a miracle that I've recovered, like I have. I can run circles around most people 40 years younger than me, but, you know, that by the grace of God. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to call another audible right now, and I'm going to change what I told Jacob to do. Jacob, son, let's do your thing first, because I don't want to run out of time, because I got so much crap to cover here, so much bad news. And also, another thing, Jacob and Lee, you too. Wake up, Lee. I want y'all to remind, don't let me forget, we need to talk about solutions at the end, at least at the end of the hour. We need to talk about solutions. We talk about, you know, problems, you know, but who talks about solutions? Well, I got some. I wanted Ike Baker to do it, but he ain't here tonight. So League of the South or Eddie Miller is going to talk about some solutions. Anyway, hey, Jacob, are you ready to rock and roll with that article you read for the American Free Press?
Sure. I can do that. And I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, though, Pappy. So, I mean, I could just kind of outline the article itself if you like, or perhaps there's something a little more specific in regards to Charlottesville that you'd like me to go into. I don't know, because we're shooting from the hip here. I know, a big plot twist, folks. We never do that on this show. We never shoot from the hip at all. But
Outline first and detail second, as Sam the Great said. Do the outlines first, detail second, and listen, get Charlottesville in there. We'll connect Charlottesville to Richmond if you know how to do that. I'm sure you can.
Okay.
After all, you're my spirit son, so you've got to learn how to do that if you don't know how. So get rolling, Mr. Jacob. Carry away, son.
Well, I guess one of the first things I'd say is, you know, the way that you would – the impression that you would almost get if you went to...
Hey, hold up a minute, Jacob. I got to interrupt you. I got to tell people,
sure. People,
Jacob actually wrote this article. It's a long one in the American Free Press. Jacob, before you get going, tell them how they can go and find this article. I'm sorry I'm remiss in doing that first. Like you say, I'm kind of hyper because I'm so damn glad to be the hell out of the hospital. Tell them how they can find this article. Tell them all about, before you read the article and go through it, tell them where they can find it, where you wrote it, what it was about, et cetera, et cetera. Then cover the article the best you can. I'm sorry to interrupt
you.
Yeah,
sure. Hey. Oh, no problem. Well, yeah, I wrote it I wrote it very shortly after the actual event itself. It appeared in the in issue 35 and 36. Let's see. It was the August 28th to September 4th issue of the publication.
And he's talking about the event. He's talking about is Charlottesville. The events you're talking about, Jacob, is Charlottesville. Go ahead.
Yes. And in regard to the article itself, American Free Press does have a ton of their content for free up on their website, AmericanFreePress.net. Last time I checked, that article for some reason was not up there, though. So what I'll do is tonight, you know, when I get the show notes posted and everything, I'll put the PDF in the show notes where folks can download it, because as far as I know, it's not just readily available online. You would actually have to get the issue itself. If you want to support American Free Press, which I strongly urge all of you to do, it's a fantastic publication, and I've been deeply honored and very proud to be able to write for them on occasion. It's the September or the August 28th and September 4th issue, and I can post the details for that in the show notes later tonight. So, but yes, in this issue, and to American Free Press's credit, they pretty much dedicated this entire issue to Charlottesville, and they ran a lot of fantastic articles on it. I mean, there were a ton of really brilliant people weighing in on that, and you know, there's. Charlottesville was one of those events where, because it was a watershed moment, because it was this very historical gathering, you didn't have to be there to be able to make certain judgment calls about the event and everything. But getting back to the initial statement that I was making, depending on whose account of that event that you read, you can get very different impressions about it. And so one of the things that I've been repeatedly compelled to clear the air about is that Charlottesville was not some kind of a massive psyop, as some folks have advanced. I personally know and am in acquaintance with numerous of the people that were involved in organizing the rally. I've met Jason Kessler and talked with him at length on more than one occasion. I've seen him at American Renaissance's event and seen him in other places, and talked to him in depth about Charlottesville. And you know, it's easy to make claims about someone's motives and what they do when you don't even really know them. But it's a different matter altogether when you sit down with somebody and look them in the eye and see what they have to say about it. And so I know some of the people that were involved in organizing it. I know of many others, and I know about their reputation and how they're regarded by actual, you know, people that are active in the movement writ large. And I also am, you know, friends with some of the people who are actually involved in some of the logistical aspects of it. A really good friend of mine. It was actually at the time the chief of logistics officer for the league at the time. And so I'm a confidant of his, and he was very heavily involved in a lot of the behind the scenes organization of the event. And it was way too big a thing to just be completely contrived, as some people said. I don't know how many of our listeners out there might actually think that was the case. I'm just saying there's people out there that say that. And I can tell you, as someone who knows a bunch of people that were involved and who has done a bunch of research on it, it's just not the case. There's a great many aspects about it that were very suspicious, and all kinds of ways in which our mutual enemies capitalized on the event. But the notion that the whole thing was just a sham is a misguided one. And so this article, I was there at the event as an embedded journalist with our own beloved league. And I was there reporting the event for American Free Press. And so I was there at the, you know, meetings before the event. I was there at the event itself. I was right in the thick of things. And so this article is quite literally, in every sense of the word, a man on the ground report. And I'm, you know, there were enough people there, thousands, where, you know, there's plausible deniability. I can't say for certain any of the many projectiles, some of which were bottles of putrid urine and feces that were thrown at people on the right who were there. I can't confirm or deny that any of them were aimed at me, but I did get hit by stuff a couple times. I was within 20 feet of a couple incidents. That one infamous event in particular involving DeAndre Harris and Hardcore Harold, you know, Harold Cruz, where moments later, and it's also the very event that Jacob Goodwin got railroaded for in the Charlottesville Five, where DeAndre Harris got chased into that parking garage and got beaten down. I was literally 20 feet from the moment, seconds before that happened. And I didn't see them run. I mean, I didn't see inside the garage because I was outside on the street. This was after we'd been forcibly ejected from the park. But, I mean, it literally happened right behind me. And then I watched a video of it. And it's just really surreal to kind of like be there and experience something and then see all the footage from different angles and compare it and cross-reference and everything. So I was literally about like 15 or 20 feet in front of Harold when DeAndre and his chums, you know, started trying to rip Harold's flag away from him and assaulted him in the head with a mag light. Clearly Harold wasn't checking his privilege enough in that moment, you know, but he got assaulted, you know, or got hit in the side of the head with a mag light. There's actual footage of this. It's still up on YouTube as far as I know. And that was the moment where several of our guys like sprung into action and chased DeAndre Harris into that parking garage, and they beat him down. Jacob Goodwin was right there, and he was actually one of the ones that restrained them. Like, after, like, DeAndre Harris was on the ground and he was getting kicked a little bit, and then he and a couple other guys were like, come on, no, let him up, and they all backed off and they left. And so that's the event. That's the incident in particular that the Charlottesville Five were being railroaded over. So yeah, I mean, I just said it to say I was right there in the thick of it, and it was very there was so much going on, you know, you couldn't possibly take it all in, and it's taken all of the additional research I've done, all the footage I've watched from other people filming the rally in different places, to just kind of put everything together. But that's part of where this account is coming from, folks. It's not just even my.
And you know, Jacob, I heard the music coming, son. Hear the music, but Jacob told me his article's right in the middle of the magazine, the American Free Press, that featured almost the entire magazine featured Charlottesville. By the way, DeAndre Harris is going to be our honored guest on Blood River Radio next week. So y'all people be getting ready. We're going to honor him good. We're going to hoist the flag. We might even have a cross lighting. You never know. Anyway, people, hang on. We'll be right back. We're going to let Jacob finish up on his thing. And like we say, I'll tell you what to do when we come back. Hang on.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Former Ukrainian ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, who testified in the House impeachment inquiry, is retiring from foreign service. Yovanovitch testified in November that she was prematurely removed from her post due to a smear campaign orchestrated by foreign corrupt interests in Ukraine who worked with Trump allies to tarnish her reputation after 33 years in public service. Despite being forced out of her post in Kiev in May 2019, she has remained on the payroll. More than 19 million cases of the flu have been diagnosed in the United States this season, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. After a dip in the first few weeks of 2020, flu activity has once again spiked. Widespread activity is reported in every state except Hawaii. Overall, the CDC estimates the flu has led to 180,000 hospitalizations and 68 children have died. This is USA Radio News.
Hi everyone, Wayne Alarouche. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down. 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered. 800-289-2646 or go to SwissAmerica.com.
The president is now being forced to produce evidence in a rape trial. USA's Wendy King has more.
A woman who accuses President Trump of raping her in the 1990s is now asking for a DNA sample from him. Lawyers for E. Jean Carroll served notice for the president to submit a sample before March 2nd in Washington for analysis and comparison against unidentified male DNA on the dress Carroll claims she was wearing during the encounter. A lab report shows several other people were tested and eliminated. President Trump was asked about Carroll and the allegations in June.
It's a totally false accusation. I have absolutely no idea who she is.
Carroll filed a defamation lawsuit against the president in November after he denied the allegations.
U.S. tennis star Sofia Kenin captured her first Grand Slam title after a comeback win in the Australian Open final. Kenin now becomes the youngest Australian Open women's singles champion since Maria Sharapova in 2008. This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
People, my day has been made since I spent 4 days in the horse pedal last week, and I'm out. I tell you what, I'm going to tell you what I think. This is what I really believe. I believe I might have been getting a little bit taking my health for granted, taking what I have for granted, because I complain about the house we live in. I complain about the neighborhood we live in. I tell my wife, I hate this neighborhood. I wish the hell we could get out of it. But after laying up in the hospital thinking, I don't think I had a heart attack. When are they going to let me out of here? And sleeping on a $30,000 bed that could be used. I told the guys, I said, I love you people in the VA. But you know what? If I had a rich uncle that died and left me hell in his will and left me the American hospital system in his will, I would live in hell and I would rent out the hospitals. That's how much I hate being in the hospitals. But anyway, I'm so glad to be back. I tell you, it really brought me down to earth. It made me appreciate what I have. Before we go back to Jacob, I'm going to work a few little quotes in here and there. Here's something our my precious older brother, Buddy, sent me. It's about, I'll read this for all you Donald Trump sycophants. A Donald Trump. Here's what he said. According to Francisca Chambers at the Daily Mail on October the 4th of 2019, Donald Trump said, African Americans built this nation. Donald Trump hinted at slavery at a Friday afternoon event while speaking at a youth leader summit for black Republicans at the White House. And DB's up there at the White House with the beloved Trump. Anyway, Trump said African Americans are beginning to get credit for their contribution to the national fabric in unscripted marks at the White House event, he said. He says further, African Americans built this nation. You built this nation. You know you're just starting to get real credit for that. I don't know if you know that, he said. You're just starting to get. You built the nation. We all built it, but you were such a massive part of it. In this article, at the bottom of the article, it shows a thatched roof dwelling in Africa, black culture, American Congress. And to the right, it shows what looks like a kind of like a mud hut with these scantily clothed Africans standing around picking fleas off their head, I guess. But anyway, that's what your beloved Trump said, people. And let me read one more, and we're going to go to Jacob. I'm going to work these in because I got 1,000 of them. Here's what our beloved Benjamin Netanyahu said. Okay, he said this in 1990. Benjamin Netanyahu, by the time, and this has been documented, he was employed at the time he said this as a Soviet agent. In a covert conversation taped, it was taped in 1990 at the Finks Bar in Jerusalem. It's a well-known Mossad hangout. It was taken directly from the transcripts of the recording, which was witnessed and has been 100% fully authenticated. He was shown here making the satanic sign of 666 at that meeting. Okay, you can go, if you want to see, pull this article up, you can go to Veterans Today. The article was put in there by Mr. Gordon Huff. So if you go to www.veteranstoday.com, it was put in there 2015, 2003, and 2012. So you can go in there, and here's what Benjamin Netanyahu said, our beloved chosen leader. He says, America is a golden calf, and we will suck it dry, chop it up, and sell it off piece by piece until there's nothing left but the world's biggest welfare state that we will create and control. That's what we do to countries that we hate. We destroy them very slowly. And I'm reading this specifically for my Southern Baptist buddies and for my sold-out Presbyterian buddies and my sold-out, especially you people at the United Methodist Church.
Anyway, we must worship the Donald, and we must worship Benjamin Netanyahu in that little sandbox over yonder in the east called Israel. Anyway, go ahead, Jacob. I just had to try to get a few things put in here, so I hope it didn't distract you too much, son. Go ahead, Jacob.
No, not at all. And those quotes are just simply extraordinary. It's Twilight Zone tier stuff to hear that. But getting back to the article regarding Charlottesville, there's so much to say here. I'm going to try to summarize a little bit just for the sake of brevity and everything. If you read the article, which I'll put up in the show notes later on tonight, if you read the article, I give a full account of the rally and even some of the things leading up to it and ask a number of questions based on the observations that I made at the rally. But I guess just since part of the whole point in this is focusing in on what there is to learn from this, how we actually can benefit from this debacle and the negative things that have come in the aftermath of Charlottesville. I'll briefly summarize, because a lot of this criticism and a lot of the negativity about Charlottesville and the situation we find ourselves in its aftermath is based on this notion that a lot of folks have who with all due respect, weren't there. And it's not to say that some of the folks that were there don't have this opinion too, but most of the folks that I know who were there that actually participated even after all this evil stuff has happened in the wake of Charlottesville are glad that they had the opportunity to be there. And most folks who actually really participated and rolled up their sleeves and waded into that, to the fray there, are glad it happened and negative consequences of it notwithstanding, regard it more, like they do any kind of a battle in our history where we weren't, the decided victors, but the battle kind of had to happen anyways. And it was better, but most people who were there seem to feel that it was better to be there and participate in it. And what's happened has happened. And now all we can do is learn from what we're seeing in the aftermath of it. And so the event was not this slipshod, as I was saying earlier, half-baked thing. There's aspects of about the organization of it that can be criticized. It's not as if Jason was super experienced at this sort of thing, and he hadn't, even with the organization and stuff that he'd already done and activism he'd already been involved in, nothing on this scale had been attempted. And on top of that, while some people, my father included, my father Rick Tyler, he not in this like condemning the event itself kind of way, but he just said, I distinctly remember him saying, I totally understand. I can't fault anyone for going out there, but I will be shocked. He said, he told me this, I will be shocked if they don't turn this into a PR nightmare and use this as a pretext to go after organizations and everything and use this to try to shoehorn in, stuff that they've probably been cooking up for a while now. And of course, as we know, that's exactly what happened. But it wasn't for lack of planning and organization of the rally. The rally in and of itself was, first off, first encouraging thing I would say to take away from it is the rally was a rousing success. Not in that it happened or that that things went as planned, because, an entire event was planned that day. Augustus Invictus, Mike Enoch, numerous other famous people in the right wing were going to be there and going to speak all at this event protesting the removal of the statue to General Lee. And the event, the name of the event speaks to its purpose. Unite the Right was what the rally was called. And the whole point was to, regardless of where exactly you fall on the right-wing spectrum, here's something we can all rally around, this brazen assault on our heritage, in the form of trying to take down a monument to one of the greatest American heroes in our history. And so the event was very successful in that regard. A couple thousand people from across the right wing came out to this event, ready to participate in the peacefully protest this event. Another thing that I would say was a rousing success for it was that it wasn't as if we have a lot of experience yet coming out there and organizing a rally, anticipating violence from the enemy, and coordinating in such a way to where we, defend ourselves from being just completely thrashed by them while making a statement. And so much of what went wrong that day happened not because the event was just ill-conceived in its entirety or that, the whole thing was a mistake or anything. It happened because the governor of Virginia, the government of the city of Charlottesville, and the police were, for the first time that I'm aware of in recent history, openly colluding with communists and domestic terrorists. Yes, yes. And hey, they, Jacob, you know, conspire with, yes.
Hey, could you, I'm on fire to make a comment, but would you rather me wait till you get through before I make my comments? I've got something I'd like to comment. If it won't throw you off, if it won't get you disorganized, I'd like to make a few comments about what you've read, what you said.
Well, yeah, okay.
Would you rather me wait?
If you don't mind, I'd like to finish the thought I'm on, and then I'll give you a heads up.
Go ahead. Okay.
Kind of a mid thought here. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
So yeah, it was an unprecedented level of, like, at least unprecedented in recent history. Bear in mind, I'm only 31 here, folks. You know, but from anything I've seen and heard of, you know, thus far in contemporary modern history, it was an unprecedented level of collusion, collaboration, and conspiring between the government and radical leftist communists, and they colluded and worked together and violently shut down a free speech rally, violently denied 2,000 red-blooded Americans their First Amendment rights.
Well, Jacob, we'll come to the end of the segment. Will people hang on to your hat? Like we say, go get you some coffee. I'm out of it right now. But we'll be right back. Come right back. Listen to me and Jacob.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, I'll tell you what, being blessed through the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his blood is a lot better than luck. But I'll take some luck. You know, thank you so much, Jacob. Jacob told me during the break that he's pretty much wound that up right now. So I'd like to make a couple of comments myself. First of all, what we witnessed there in Charlottesville was what Sam would call probably a trifecta. It was an organization of government joined at the hip, joined at the brain, joined at the soul. Well, they don't have a soul. Joined at the brain with a communist, creating what we call a thugocracy. And they're aided by their Satan-loving media water-carrying boys. And they got together to try to set up white Christians, especially Christians, law-loving, law-abiding citizens. That's what they did. They sat there, and like Jacob said, probably for the first time in his short lifetime, that the thugocracy of the government that's been completely taken over by a bunch of Satan-worshipping, drug-dealing, pedophile communist. That's what they attacked us. They attack anything good. They attack anything. They despise us. They hate us. And I'm going to tell you something else. This operation up there, I was there too with Jacob. I was, in a different compound with the League of the South. And what I saw carried out was carried out with a military-like precision by my blood brothers, the League of the South. They never melted under fire. They never panicked. They conducted themselves as Christian gentlemen warriors would. They never attacked anybody. They never did anything. I'm going to tell you something else, too. Screw the media, to hell what the media says. Don't worry about, oh, if we go up there and we do this, the media is going to make us look like a bunch of thugs, a bunch of communists, a bunch of Nazis, excuse me. They do it anyway. If we sit on our butt and never do anything, they're still going to say we're a bunch of communists. They're still going to say we're a bunch of Nazis. I'm dying to single some of my brothers out right now that I've canceled. Matter of fact, I'm going to single one out right now, and I'll probably catch hell for this. My brother David Duke, and I've said this before, he's always saying, well, back in my younger days, you know, before I knew any better, et cetera, et cetera, I was in the Ku Klux Klan. Well, I say to my brother, stop apologizing for being in the Klan. You should say, do like me. I'm not in the Klan officially, but at heart, am I a Klansman? You're damn right, because I've seen the Klansmen. I've been to their rallies. I know what kind of people they are. They're hardcore Christian people. And by God, I'm proud to be a Klansman. Stop apologizing for your past. You should be proud of it. They're going to lie about you no matter what you do. By saying, oh, I didn't know what I was doing when I was in the Klan. Well, the ADL, they love you now for that. They love you, don't they? No, hell no, they hate you worse than they ever did. If you ever lie, if you start backpedaling and apologizing like a cur dog, they're going to come on you, man, like buzzards, like sharks in the water. Never lie to those sorry SOBs. You never. And I'm going to tell you what. It wasn't our people's fault that things went wrong. Things went wrong because we were attacked and outnumbered, God only knows how many, 5, 10 to 1, I don't know. So I tell you what, if we had a Charlottesville again tomorrow, well, I go, you're damn right I'll go. And it was a notice that it needed first step. You're damn right it was a needed first step. And we need some more. We can never back down to these people. And these people, you know what, these people that criticize me and other people, not just me, I don't want to say me, the people, these fence setters, these people I despise, I cannot stand these fence setters, these people, our sheep, my brother Jason Robb over here in Arkansas, I'm always arguing him about this. They're not my damn sheep. Hell no. Jesus Christ himself said in the Bible, talking about his sheep, you're my sheep because you hear my words. But if you got my sheep out here that don't listen to Mars, if you don't heed my commands, you're not my sheep. You're the sons of the devil. Stop worrying about what these fence sitters are going to think about you. Get rid of them. Weed them out. We don't need them. We don't. If you go to our website, and I'm getting off on this rabbit trail. If you go to our website and read every word I wrote, we're not out for the masses. We're not out for these people. Oh, if you talk about the Nazis or if you talk about the Klan, you're going to lose the masses. They're not going to follow you. I'm trying to get rid of those people. I'm not trying to get them to follow me. I despise those people. I cannot stand them. I hate them like God hates them, like God hated Esau in the womb. I want to get rid of them. Everything I do in this show is to recruit people that think like us, the 1 to 2 to 3%. I'm not worried about the damn optics. Anyway, Jacob, that's the way I feel about it, son. And I know I disagree with your dad, too. But you know what? I'm not worried about punching to the right. I take a baseball back and slug to the right. We need more people to so-called punch to the right. Because you know what? The people we're punching against are not really the right. And a few of our brothers and sisters out there that are wrong, they need to be corrected and brought in the line. But we got a bunch of people out there, the impersonators, and I can name a few of them, but I'll name them next show. If people want to jump on my butt then about, oh, you need to quit punching to the right. Well, you know what? That's just too damn bad. Anyway, I'm back to you, Jacob. I'm sorry. I mean, it gets so hot, son, but go ahead. That really pisses me off, man. But anyway, go ahead, Jacob. I'm sorry, Phil.
No, I understand where you're coming from, Pappy, and I think most people in the audience do too. And you know, I mean, everyone needs a little tough love, you know. And I think most people, even the folks you're criticizing, you know, I think most of us realize that, you know, there's something to be said for giving people that kind of tough love that you're giving them right there. And we can be in slightly different spots in terms of how hard we criticize our fellow laborers in the trenches and whatnot. So I mean, there's you know, even as someone who doesn't, you know, like I don't necessarily subscribe to every single word you're saying there, but I get it. I get the frustration, and we all need that prodding. So I view what you're saying is just you're just pushing us out the door. You're just prodding us and giving us the tough love we need. And you know, I think most folks wouldn't even be that offended by what you're saying because they recognize, you know, the spirit you're saying it in. So, no, I mean, I
well, you know what, Jacob?
And appreciate your candor. That we need more of that candor.
I hope some of them are offended because I want them, the ones I'm dropping napalm on, I want them to be offended. I want the cowards to be offended. I cannot stand a coward. I'd rather be around a crackhead whore than to be around a coward. A coward to me is the lowest scum on the face of the earth. If you will sit there and sell your own people out, you know, your own race out because you're afraid, you can't lift a finger. You know, I despise these cowards. You'll never, ever, ever convert them. Not in a million years. I want to piss them off. I want to run them away because you know what? When we get through, the people I want to be around was the people we saw in the eye drain. The people we saw in the Central Highlands, the few that don't run, the few that will be with you at the end of the time, the few at Fort Polk before I even got across the water, so to speak, that stood with me it was at Fort Sam before we went to Camp Bullis. When I got into a fight with, about 100 black brethren, you know, one or two guys came to help me. The rest of them scattered. I despise those cowards. I wish them nothing but evil on their heads. Anyway, people, we're almost out of time. I just got our guest is going to be able to come on after all. He was under, we'll go ahead and bring him on the second hour. Jacob, I'm sorry. I'll go back to you again. I maybe being in the hospital this last 4 days got me cooped up. Maybe I'm getting to go over the edge here. Cool. Would you have anything you'd like to say, Lee? Go ahead, Jacob. Well, go ahead. But I don't give a damn who I offend. I want to offend them sorry SOBs. I do. I do. I'm getting ready to name. I'm getting ready to hit slam them to the right again some more in the second hour. And I hope I hear from them. I probably won't, though, because they'd have enough damn guts to come to confront you in your face. But I'm going to shut up now. Go ahead, Jacob, and finish up with that article you had on the American Free Press, son.
Sure, Pappy. Well, let's see. We were talking about – I was trying to hone in on just some things. You know, it's really easy to get caught up in all the negatives that have come about in the aftermath of the article. But I was just talking about objective things to take note of about why this event was so significant and all the ways in which it was arousing success. And so we already mentioned how it was, you know, the event was very successful in bringing together people from all across the dissident right together on this area of common ground, you know, because differences notwithstanding and criticisms of between the different groups notwithstanding, you know, there's certain things. If we can't rally over certain pivot point events, then we got big problems. You know, that's what the founding fathers did in the time of the revolution. You had so many different opinions and viewpoints coming from even that group of people, this highly homogenous a group of individuals, intellectuals, and, you know, overwhelmingly Christian people who still had this hodgepodge of ideas and beliefs about what the country was going to be and even how to fight the enemy. And so this is as old as time itself. As long, you know, they say that wherever two or more are gathered in the name of the Lord, there he is also. But I like to say that there's going to be as many opinions as that as well wherever two or more are gathered. I'm hearing the music for the end of the hour again.
Well, Sam's probably right. Thank you so much, Jacob, for reeling us back in here, fella. Sometimes, you know, I'm just so passionate. And I haven't lived to be 73 years old to know what works and what doesn't work. Anyway, people, we'll be right back. And we're going to bring our guest, Ike Baker, on. He just sent me a text, and he said that his crisis is over. So, Sam, we'll be bringing him back up. We'll bring him on in just a few minutes. Be right back, people.